Well, the power of your words, this is a series we're doing. This is part two. The title of this part of the power of your words is Let the Redeemed of the Lord Say So. I want to review a little bit from last week first. I'm just going to run through a few of the scriptures we use. We started in Luke chapter 6, verse 43 through 45. And the main part of that verse we mentioned was, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So your mouth declares what's in your heart. Out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks. I said last week, we see when these new guys come in, we can tell the ones that start to get it because the way they speak begins to change. We can tell a mature Christian walking with Christ by what comes out of their mouth. When they start getting it, they start speaking the word rather than the circumstances around them. Some folks speak doom and gloom of everything they see in the news, everything they hear in their family, everything the doctor says, every time somebody at work is saying something negative, they're speaking and repeating the negative around. But praise God, when you have the word of God in you and you reprogram your mind according to the kingdom, you start speaking life rather than death. Amen? So that was the first verse we mentioned last week. Out of the abundance of the heart, the overflow, your mouth will speak. We can know what's in your heart by what comes out of your mouth. Amen. So we want to guard our lips. Praise God. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world any longer. Famous verse. So Christians been in church anytime know this verse well. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, praise God, we said Jesus has won our victory in our spirit, in our soulish realm, in our mind, our will, our emotions. Sometimes there's a battle there. So the battle's in the mind. But last week I made this statement, and the mouth declares who's winning. So the battle's in the mind, but the mouth declares. You can speak the life from your spirit to your mind and to those around you, or you can speak what you're picking up from your sense realm around you and declare defeat. So we want to speak the life. We want to speak the victory that God has given us. Proverbs 18:21, we mentioned. Praise God. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. Speaking of that fruit, it says, from the fruit of his lips, a man will enjoy good things. Life and death are the power of the tongue, and we want to enjoy the fruit of our lips. Proverbs 13:3 says, he who guards his lips guards his life. And just to give an example of how important what we say is, the Bible puts what we say, the words for our salvation. He says you believe in your heart. But first he says, you confess with your mouth, Romans 10, 9 and 10. If we would confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So we must speak it. We believe in our heart, and what's in our heart overflows out of our mouth, and we must declare that, yes, Jesus is my Lord. Yes, I was in darkness, as these guys were testifying, declaring, I was in darkness, I was in a struggle, but God saved me, and now I'm born again. Now I have life. Now Jesus is my Lord. So speaking it out, boys, is a good thing. Declaring your testimony, going back home or going wherever you're going, and letting those around you, let the redeemed, if Jesus Christ went to the cross and purchased you with his precious blood, he redeemed you, he bought you back. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. He wants us to speak it. Amen. So tell folks that you've been redeemed. Tell folks that Jesus saved you. Speak the confession of our faith. Last week we mentioned that we think of the word confess or confession is about confessing sin or confession of sin. Folks, that's what it was when we were a sinner. We confessed our faults and confessed our sin. But now, praise God, that we're in Christ, he wants it to be the confession of our faith. Amen? We confess Jesus is Lord. We confess we were in darkness, but he brought me to his marvelous light. And from here on out, we want you to believe what Brad just said. We want you to believe the scripture we can all quote. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. So we confess with our mouth, walking in this world, hey, the temptation comes to you from things of the past or what? Hey, the old man is dead. I have been crucified with Christ. I live now, praise God. Christ lives in me. We start speaking, confessing our faith. Amen? So that word confession, I want to change your mind on what it is last week and today. Confession, praise God, is confessing faith. It's similar to the Greek word they use, profession. The profession of our faith and the confession of our faith is the same thing. We're admitting and letting folks know. We're admonishing. We are encouraging. We're speaking. Praise God. We're proclaiming. We're declaring that Jesus is our Lord. Turn with me there and you'll put it on the screen, that verse I've been quoting, so you can circle it and underline it. Psalm 107, we're going to look at verse 1 through 3. And the writer of the psalm puts this in a story. He not only tells you what to do, but then he gives several examples of who it is and how to do it. The Bible says, verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Then it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Say what? Say this, that you've been redeemed. The King James says, say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Now it gives some little stories of the redeemed of the Lord saying so. Where they've been and what God's done for them. The first story is verse 4 through 9. Follow along with me. I'm reading out of the NIV. Some wandered in the desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they can settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Praise God. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Do you see that story? From verse 4 to 9, it's a story of those wandering in the desert, cried out in distress, and he satisfied them and filled them and rescued them. Amen? Could that be your story? He's saying, let the redeemed, if this has happened to you, then say so. Okay? Amen? If you've been struggling and wondering and the Lord Jesus Christ rescued you, then begin to speak it. Begin to confess it. Begin to proclaim it. Here's another story. Verse 10 about some others. Some sat in darkness and in deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains. For they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Can anybody here say verse 10 and 11 used to be you? Look at it closely, just three of you. Anybody else? Was verse 10 and 11, that could be your story? Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Let them speak it. But now the good news, it says, so he subject them to bitter labor. They stumbled and was no one to help. The Lord allows you to walk your way, you know. In the Old Testament, he would put them under bondage. In the New Testament, praise God, he lets you go your own way if you choose. And Satan cuts you up. But then verse 13, praise God. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. Verse 14, he brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he breaks down the gates of bronze and he cuts through bars of iron. Now, how many of you can say, praise God, maybe that was you in the beginning, but this is also you now, the end of that story. Amen? He broke the chains. He sets you free. Amen. So the psalm says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And then it gives a few stories about the redeemed of the Lord saying so. Where you have been, how God showed up and showed out in your life, what he did for you, and now you're starting to proclaim it and confessing your faith. You're no longer confessing darkness. You're no longer walking around always speaking the negative. Woe is me. Why is this happening to me? This is my problem. The devil's after me. This, you know. Oh no, now we speak faith. Now we speak life. He wants us to learn to change the profession and the confession of our words to speak faith. Every day, all day. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Because this is who we are. Now, let's get into the meat of the message today. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Deep in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 4. Turn there. I want you to be able to see it. We're going to start in verse 14 and go to verse 16 first. Praise God. If you get to Hebrews, say amen. Amen. Some of you got it on your Bible in your hand. Some of you got it on your phone. If you don't have it with you, say, I'll bring it next week. Anybody? Going to bring it next week? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Amen. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess or confess or declare or acknowledge. The faith that we have, that we're professing, that we believe in our heart, but we also profess it with our mouth, praise God, let us hold firmly to it. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we have mercy and can find grace to help us in our time of need. We have a high priest who felt every hardship, every weakness, every struggle. We have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who felt it all, and yet without sin. And he has gone before us, praise God. And now we believe in him, so we are in him, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. So now let's hold on steadfastly to the faith that we are proclaiming and professing and confessing. Let's don't speak the negative. Let's don't speak the old man. Let's don't speak death and sin. Let's speak life. Let's build each other up. Let's encourage each other. Let's speak the word of God of who he says we are. We just sang that song, praise God. I am who he says I am. Not what your mind, the way it was brought up, says that you are. Not what you heard maybe from your parents or others or people who put you down or your friends or you know, or anything else. But what God says about you now as a born-again believer, let's speak those words. Let's profess and let's hold fast because we have a high priest. We have a high priest who walked this earth as a man, who felt every hardship and every temptation, but he won it all for us. And then he gave us the victory inside of us. So let's let our mouth declare who's winning. Amen? Praise God. We're going to speak the life. Hebrews chapter 3, flip back a page. Verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, I'm going to speak that over you right now. Therefore, all my holy brothers and sisters, I declare you, as the Lord says to you now, you are holy. You are holy because of your faith in Christ. He just said it. Therefore, holy brethren, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. NIV says, we confess. King James says, we profess. Okay? We confess Christ. Okay? We're not confessing that I'm no good. I'm a filthy, rotten sinner. I'm struggling in this life. I'm barely going to make it. Oh, if I could ever. No, no, no. We confess the victory that's already done. Come on, it's a new way. I'm talking about right now, by the word, you're renewing your mind. You're renewing your mind to not think according to the pattern of your former families or friends or click or however you lived or whatever they said or whatever negativity going. You're renewing your mind to the truth of how to speak now as a Christian. We're going to speak life. We're going to speak who we are, what Christ says about us, not anything else. Not what the DA's report says, you know, not what, you know, the past probation officer says, not what anything else says. Hey, we know that old things have passed away. All things have become new. I'm going to be to declare what God says in his word about me, not what anything else is. It's so important how we speak. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You can confess Christ in good things, or you can confess an evil report. Don't use your words for evil. People think when they say, well, let's don't speak evil or perverse out of lips, we think we're talking about cursing or cussing, they say in the South or whatever, or vulgar words. No, no, no. Let me tell you a story. Back in the day, when Israelites were about to go into the promised land, they sent one from each tribe to go first and spy out the land. They're about to go right in, man. They went to Mount Sinai. They received the law, established the covenant. They're getting ready to go. They send the spies in to go check out the land. And man, is a beautiful land flowing with milk and honey. They chop that cluster of grapes, tie it between a stick, two men carrying it, big fat grapes this big around. I'm telling you, in the new heaven and new earth, you can put your face in one big grape like a watermelon. It's real. Okay? I've had a taste of glory already. We've got a down payment of heaven inside the Holy Spirit. We can see these things. Amen? It's in his word. But the other spies came back and they say, well, tell us the report. And they say, well, yeah. It sure is a good land flowing with milk and honey. And here's what they said. But, well, I know he graduated from Fresh Start. And I know, you know, they think he's going to do well. But they don't really know, you know, his past. But they don't really know what all the troubles is. But they don't know. But quit speaking an evil report. Yeah. About the men of God and women of God he has declared victorious. Yeah. Quit speaking evil from your tongue. Speak life. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Amen. So they brought back and some say, yeah, it's a good land. You know, this Jesus thing, this church thing could be pretty good. But, you know, they got giants in the land. They have walled cities. And Joshua and Caleb stood up right away, two of the spies, and said, we can take them. We can do this. The same God who stretched out his hand and opened the Red Sea, the same God who sent the plagues, that God, God is with us, and we can go on his word and we can have victory. And the other spies to that, you know what they said? No, we can't. This victory Pastor Dave's talking about, you know, come on, that's a little bit out there, don't you think? Walking in victory, walking, praise God, in this victorious Christian life, having the blessing of God and the favor of God with us all the time. Come on, that's a little out there. That's not real. No, I'm telling you. You know what God said about that report? He said it was an evil report. They weren't cursing. They weren't using vulgar language. But he called their speech evil. Why was it evil? They were professing and confessing fear and doubt and negativity rather than the truth of the word of God. God said, go in. God said, ladies, you can make it. God said, you can have this victory. God said, you can have a blessed life. God, and you need to believe it and then confess it with your mouth. Praise God. Matter of fact, if some are speaking the other way, negative whining, complaining, get away from them. If that's going on in the workplace, at the water cooler, the smoking section or whatever, go to a different section and get some around some people that are speaking life. Hello? Amen? We want to speak the truth of the Word of God. So God called that. What is evil speech? Speech that doesn't line up with the truth of the Word. You're praying and believing for something, then you're speaking doubt, you know, speaking negativity, speaking wrong confessions of not faith, but confessions that the enemy's winning. That's evil. Let's don't have evil speech. Let's have the words of life, praise God. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Praise the Lord. Starting in verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. Praise God, have confidence. I'm talking about the Holy of Holies that had a thick veil that no one could enter except the high priest once a year. Now he's wanting us, who used to be sinners, who cried out to God for help, and he saved us and transformed us. Now he's saying we could have confidence to go behind the veil, which is the body of Jesus, a new and living way. We have we can go in. We have a great high priest in the house of God. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. Oh, let's speak that a moment. Say this with me. I've been cleansed. The blood has washed my sin. And now through the word, my conscience is cleansed. My conscience is no longer guilty. If you've suffered from a guilty conscience, always feeling guilty, in the name of Jesus, by the word of God, I declare you as believers no longer guilty. Now I'm speaking this life to your conscience. Lord God, by the word of God today, speaking life, let these people in here that's hearing this word no longer have a guilty conscience. I don't have a guilty conscience. I have a righteousness conscience. The Holy Spirit is not hovering around me like always looking for when I do wrong to convict me of my sin and always make me feel like, oh, Lord God, I'm about to pray, but before I do, I better try to think about all my sins and shortcomings and failures and announce them to you again and make this long prayer about all my weaknesses. And God's saying, no, don't do it. The blood of Jesus Christ has forgiven you and washed you yesterday to today forever. I want you to take these verses to heart and come boldly into the very throne room of God, unashamed, not guilty, feeling like you belong there, that you have a right there because Jesus has given you that right. You have access to God, holy, and you could not go to him if you were a sinner. God is holy and righteous. Man was a sinner. Jesus filled the gap, the mediator between God and man. When he's hung on the cross, the veil was split. We who believe in Jesus can go into him boldly, unashamedly, without guilt. And I've been preaching this long enough where I don't even feel guilty anymore. Ever. Pastor, you saying you don't mess up? Oh yeah, I do mess up. I struggle with different things, but I don't carry it around as a burden feeling guilty that I can't go to God. I walk with God anyway because I know my sin is forgiven 2,000 years ago. Praise the Lord. And he's continuing to lead me and guide me and teach me things, but I don't carry around a weight of guilt and shame that I have to leave the church for 3 weeks. I come back, praise God. I lift my hands. I start boldly entering in again because I know who I am. Come on, church, I'm trying to grow you up. Mature. Change the way you speak. But before I can change the way you speak, the Holy Spirit's got to change the way you think. And your mind is being renewed right now by the washing of the water of this word. And you are being brought into maturity by the truth of the word. You won't get this everywhere. Some folks, you go to church and they'll just keep harping on your sin. And before you leave, you'll walk out saying to the next guy, man, he stomped on my toes today. Wasn't that good? No, it's not. It's a lie. If he's stomping on Christians' toes, get out of there. My Jesus' blood has washed your sin and cleansed you. And he wants you to be so cleansed. He wants you to be cleansed from a guilty conscience. He wants you to walk around knowing, like, my daughter can come to me at any time for anything. Will no wise cast her out. She's blessed and highly favored. Have my blessing. Always with me. That's how God thinks of you when you believe in Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You can come to him. Come on, church. Wait, is this true? Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Body's not evil either. My spirit is born again. The Holy Spirit lives in me. The Holy Spirit couldn't live in you if you haven't been cleansed. Now you're cleansed, the Holy Spirit's in you, and praise God, if you renew your mind, you will no longer think of yourself guilty and ashamed all the time of your past. You will believe who you are in Christ. You will let the word declare to you who you are now, and when you believe it, you can confess it and hang on to the steadfast confession of your faith in Christ. Don't speak evil reports about yourself, your children, your family, your marriage. Don't get around some other ladies who are complaining about their husband and you start complaining about yours. That's an evil report. That's speaking evil. It's worse than speaking cursing, vulgar stuff, speaking wrong things about your helpmate, the one you are one with. Don't speak evil about your wives, about your boss, about people. Speak life to those around you. Speak positive. Speak Christ. Are you with me? Come on. This is a deeper than someone might want to hear. Some receive the word, ready for it. I believe you're receiving the word. You're taking this in. It's changing the way we believe and think, so it'll change the way we speak. And life and death are in the power of the tongue. So it goes on to say, praise God. Cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed. Verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we what? To the hope we what? Confess. The hope we profess. The hope we speak. The hope we say. Let us hold unswervingly. Hey, have you been holding unswervingly to wrong things you've been saying? Have you been speaking bad things about your family, your wife, your children, your job, your church, your business, your this and that, and the negative stuff comes out of your mouth, and you're holding firmly to what you say over and over and over? If you say it over and over and over, you're holding firmly to it. Come on now, we're growing up, learning how to speak the life of Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Do you know, if I'm not professing and confessing that I'm going to make it, that I have victory, that I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might, that he's with me, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, you know, that I'm under his protection, that I have his blessing, I have his health, my strength is being renewed like the eagles. Praise God. If I'm not holding on to that, then what am I saying? Am I saying, what I'm saying is, I'm speaking doubt and say, yo, I'm here, but I can't go there. I can't enter into that promised land. There's giants in the land. There's too many hurdles in my life. I've got to do this. I've got to get out of this rehab. I've got to go to court. I've got to get a job. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And you think the mountain's too big and saying, I can't make it. I'll never make it all the way. God wants to see yourself as already there, praise God, and you're living out the victory that's in you, going from step to step to glory. You see, it's a finished work in Christ. He who began a good work will continue till the day of Jesus Christ. And in God's eyes, it's already done. Jesus has already won the victory. Amen? And now we're walking out. Oh, come on, I'll show you. I'm almost through. It's in you, praise God. Go with me to Philemon. If you can find that, say amen and you win the prize. It's only one page. Who can find Philemon? Nobody yet. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. Miss Amanda's got it. On her phone, even. Are you high tech, Miss Amanda? You got your Bible on your phone? Look at you. Praise the Lord. Philemon 6. People ask, what chapter? There's only one. Verse 6. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Now, Bo, I'm going to ask you to put it up on the wall there in the King James Version. Philemon 6. Okay? Praise God. That the communication of our faith may become effectual by the acknowledging. Everybody say the acknowledging. Okay? When you acknowledge something, okay, you're taking it in, you're believing it, and you're acknowledging it as fact, and you confess it, you profess it, you speak it, you believe it. So the communication of our faith, this thing we're walking it out, we're speaking about it, we're living it, we're walking it out, may become effectual, powerful, by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ. So all the good things that are in you in Christ as a believer, in order to acknowledge it, you have to know it. You can't acknowledge what you don't know. That's why this journey you've begun for 7 months continues on the next 7 months and the next and the next. You didn't learn everything there is to know about the Bible and Christ in 7 months. Although some come in here in the first 30 days, they want to be a teacher. They think they know it all already. I usually tell that guy, hey, shh, everybody's going to look at you funny, dude. Keep your mouth shut a while. You need to sit and learn for a while. Hello? But 7 months, you need to continue to grow in it and continue to learn for the rest of your life. And what you're learning, you need to acknowledge. So you learn it and you acknowledge it. You speak it, praise God. You profess it and you believe it. But you can't acknowledge what you don't know. Amen? That's why we have classes, church. It's not just Sunday morning, everybody come here. We have classes that meet at 9:30. There's different life groups that meet in people's homes. There's study groups that, you know, come together, learn the word so you can declare the word about yourself. Amen? And for others. And it becomes effectual. Praise God. Circle that verse. You can go back to it. About two more and we're going to close. Galatians chapter 2. Flip back a few pages, Galatians 2, verse 20. Praise God. I remember Matt speaking this in a message just a year ago or so. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Wow. Okay, now let's acknowledge that. Okay, we just read it. It's true. For the Christians, if you're not a believer yet, if you haven't received Christ, you can today, while I'm speaking, you can believe what I'm saying and receive Christ as your Savior. If you want to come up and talk to me afterwards, I want to pray with you. But praise God, for those of you who have received Christ, you can confess this line right here. I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. The NIV version says it this way. For I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Say this with me. I'm crucified with Christ. I no longer live. You see, this salvation is a free gift for whosoever will. There's only one catch. You have to die to get it. You have to lay down your life and die and be buried with him in baptism. You're buried. You're buried, praise God. You're buried before you go in the water, but you go in the water to profess what has already happened in your heart. So it happens in your heart too, and then we confess it with our mouth. Jesus is my Lord. I'm dead. My old man is dead. Go under the water dead. And now it says this. Think of yourself this way. Okay? I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Church, I want to teach you to think as you're walking around in your profession. Christ lives in me. Christ, Jesus Christ, the one who created the heaven and the earth, the one who came and was born of a virgin, the one who lived without sin, the one who healed the sick, you know, rebuked the religious, the coolest one of all, the hero, he lives in me. That's who I am. You're going to work tomorrow? You're going to work with Christ. You're a believer? Christ is in you. The holiness, and Christ is not a sinner. He's holy and righteous. And that's who you are. If you are in him, he is in you. That's who you are. Renew your mind to this truth so you can speak it. And hold on to the confession of your faith. Jesus is my Lord and Christ is in me. I no longer, drugs come at you, temptation comes at you. No, I think of myself as dead to sin. I have been crucified with Christ. Don't tempt me with that, dude. Don't you know I have died? I'm not who you think I am. You're bringing this around my life. It has no effect on me. I have been crucified. I am dead to this sin. I'm alive to God because it's no longer me who live. It's Christ who's living in me. Is that too radical for you?
No.
It's just the Word of God. You're right, Cecily. It's the Word of God. It's been there all along. But sometimes we read over it, and then we still keep confessing, I'm a filthy, rotten sinner. I'll barely make it to heaven one day if I can only hang on. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. The devil's beating me. The devil's attacking me today. This is my problem. That's my problem. Communicating all your problems. Christ said, stop it. Don't disgrace his blood and declare in him that he didn't win. Don't let that come out of your mouth, that what Jesus did wasn't good enough. You think Jesus went to the cross and bled and died for you to barely make it? It's not what he did. He went to the cross and bled and died to cleanse you. Now hear me. So that you can be cleansed holy, so that he could live in you. He couldn't live in you until he cleansed you. But after he cleansed you, he poured out his Spirit to dwell inside of you. And the Spirit in you, if you're a believer, is holy, righteous, perfect, beautiful. And that's who we are. Not outwardly righteous by what we wear or some code of some religious rules. I'm talking about the righteousness of God that comes by faith in him in our heart. It changes the way we live and think. Okay? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is holy. One more verse. Galatians, flip over a page. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 20. I'm sorry, I didn't finish that verse. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, this body, which is holy too, praise God, it's a temple. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We confess that. Ephesians 3, verse 20, last verse. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's break that down one more time. Now, church, to him, Jesus, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Hey, you're asking and imagine, and you're thinking like, oh, Lord, I don't deserve this, this, and this. But if I can only have this, if you can only just get me off of drugs, and I'll do the rest, Lord. Or just do this little thing for me. And Lord, no. He's able to do immeasurably more than all you can ask or even think. He wants to bless you and bless you and bless you and shine his light and his favor through you. He wants to live his glorious victory in you and through you. If you cut yourself short by your mouth, it's not giving him glory. Speak this life of what he says about us, the church. Then it says, watch this, to him who is able to do immeasurably more, all that we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work is at work within us. Let's just confess this last thing. I'm a believer. I'm washed. I'm closing in prayer. I've been cleansed. My sin is gone. I've died with him. I've risen with him. I'm holy. I'm righteous by my faith. He's at work in me. The power is at work in me now and flowing through me. This is who I am, a child of God. I'm accepted. I'm loved. I'm in the family of God. I have his health. I have his prosperity. I have his righteousness. Thank you, Lord. I will boldly proclare and confess my faith each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, church. Amen. Amen. Hey, now I pray that the Holy Spirit in you will bring this up to your remembrance all this week. Now watch this. And when you're about to speak something wrong, the Holy Spirit is going to remind you and correct you and say,